I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. If you happen to open your phone or laptop on Thursday night, or simply open your bulletin to the front page, you'd find out that today is Laetare, or Refreshment Sunday, in the Universal Church. I like to see it as an oasis in the desert of our Lenten fast together. Laetare is the Latin word for rejoice, and it is a reminder of that resurrection hope that underlies all we've given up for Lent or holy habits we've taken on in this season. For those of you who have been going through withdrawals from desserts, or coffee, or chocolate, your loved ones may be very happy to learn that today is one of those church-sanctioned days to actually have a break from that Lenten fast. There you go. The priest said it, cue the champagne bottles. And of course, it wouldn't be really real if we didn't have some liturgical symbol to go along with it. So as good Episcopalians, and with the help of Barry, the church brings the point home to you all by the priest wearing rose-colored chasuble, or a stole, rather than the usual Lenten violet. When I was walking the Camino de Santiago, that long pilgrimage that cuts across all of Europe and leads to the holy city of Santiago de Compostela, the burial place of James, one of the 12 disciples, I remember a thing or two of finding an oasis in a dry spell. After walking through 8 days of straight freezing rain without waterproof shoes, I remember catching up to my Danish friend Nico, who I met on the second day of the way. Hearing the pain sighs between my breaths as I walked through a week's worth of blisters, she said to me, "You know what my friend told me before I left to walk this crazy pilgrimage?" "What's that?" I said, perking up and ready for any distraction from the shooting pain in my feet. She replied, "There are 3 phases of pain for a pilgrim on the Camino." Great. First, pain comes in the body. The aches, the sores, the blisters. Second, pain comes in the mind. The circular thoughts, the rehashing of past traumas and relationships, the pure, unadulterated boredom of walking day after day with no distractions. Third, pain comes, she said, in the spirit. The aching longing when you realize that this journey is not what you expected and that you can't escape from what it is giving you. It's that spiritual pain, that spiritual realization that suffering is a part of life and there's no fix, there's no shortcut, there's no getaway. And yet, there's a kind of freedom in the acceptance that that is a part of life. A release, perhaps to something or someone who can hold it all, who can hold you all. Looking away in silence at the old brown cobblestone streets ahead of me and the bright blue sky above me, I knew she was right. For a moment, those pain-shooting blisters and mind spirals didn't seem to matter anymore. For a moment, I could accept it. For a moment, I felt released. What she offered me at that moment was a kind of oasis. She named for me what I had been carrying by myself for days. She reminded me that pain, physical, mental, and spiritual, is natural. They are human, And they have a place, even a life cycle, you could say, within a community, especially a community of faith. Later that day at the hostel that we arrived at, I asked her to figure out the mess that was happening with my feet. Later that week, after a pilgrim dinner, we stayed up way too late talking about love's loss and regrets long hidden. Later that month, we arrived to Santiago, lighter, freer, not just because our bags were lighter, or because we lost 15 pounds, we did, but because our burdens were no longer being carried alone. Our readings today each point to a profound truth. We cannot do it alone. We need God, and we need each other. And it turns out that God and those we love want all of us. Not just the pretty, put-together parts, but the messy, broken parts too. Because it's all human. And that's where the human one, another way of saying the Son of Man, meets us. In our gospel today, Jesus went to the person who could receive all of him. Scripture says he went to a beggar. He goes to the beggar because it is in the beggar's acceptance of his own neediness, his own humanness, that his heart is made open for grace, ready to receive healing and the divine light that breaks through his brokenness and is made visible for all. To start, though, let's be clear. This is not a story of a disability that needs to be changed. For Jesus, it is a story of a beggar risking his body to be touched by the earthiness of a stranger's saliva and dirt. It is a story of a beggar risking his status to proclaim God's new thing to a people stuck on God's old thing. It is a story of a beggar risking his life to worship the Lord, even if there is no one to join him, even if it is dangerous from the powers that be. For it is a story that Jesus tells us straight up, is a story of the works of God to be revealed. That is the reason for the miracle. Just as our story is not about a disability that is in need of fixing, it is also not a story about Pharisees or worse, Jews that are the issue. The Pharisees were a sect of Judaism renowned for their religious adherence and intentional living. When Judaism of the time, like any religion, was becoming less relevant to the people's lives, the Pharisees democratized the faith. They made the law living and breathing, speaking into people's lives in their current condition, adapting it to the new issues arising in their first century Palestinian life. Jesus is not critiquing the Pharisees' devotion. He is certainly not critiquing Judaism as a Jew himself. He is critiquing that they think they have it all figured out. He is critiquing their heart, as the Lord says to Samuel in our reading today. They have spent years studying the Torah, preaching commentaries on living the good life, and their influence on first century Judaism is growing. Who are they to learn something new from this beggar, the Pharisees might think. Jesus could make that same critique to any organized religion in 2026. No doubt our own. And with a seminary degree and a collar on my shirt, I confess I often feel I need to take a step back from the Rolodex of spiritual writings and theological exegeses that spin around in my head when someone approaches me with a tender pastoral concern. Worse still, I can feel like I have to be more put together or less vulnerable because I'm a pastor and a caregiver to people. There are many times when I feel like I too have it all figured out. the radical truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that Jesus does not only show us, the truth that Jesus lives in his crucified body, is that when we accept that we don't have it all figured out, there is a space that opens in our heart to meet Jesus, to be healed by Jesus, to remain with Jesus. Rather than saying, surely we are not blind, are we? It is when we can say in all honesty at the confession that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and left undone, that we can claim our humanity and receive God's forgiveness and mercy. And my Episcopal friends, it is not limited to one liturgical act on a Sunday. Sorry to break it to you. It is part of Christian life and community. The letter to the Ephesians says, "You are children of light. Take not part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For everything exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that becomes visible is light." Everything that becomes visible is light. It is in the act of visibility, the act of exposing our messy, human, imperfect selves, the risky act of admitting that we don't have it all together, that we are in light, Christ's light. Just like those early Christians 2,000 years ago in that seaside town of Ephesus, we do this in community, whether that is our church community right here or our family. We do this by naming what is laying heavy on our soul to a trusted friend or spiritual counselor. It is asking for help when we need it most. It is apologizing when we've hurt another person, no matter how long the time has passed. It may feel like we're dying. It may not even make sense to us in the moment. But when we expose our suffering, our darkness, what becomes visible in that moment is light. The truth of Christianity is not that it is a one-and-done self-improvement project instituted by Jesus. The truth of Christianity is that we are a pilgrim people. Does not mean that we have to go walking the Camino by foot across northern Spain. It does mean that we are all on a journey together in life by our faith. A messy human journey where we are each walking each other home, side by side, with our eyes fixed on the horizon light of Jesus. A light that breaks in and bathes, a light that completes and comforts, a light that shines in the face of the one we hurt, a light that shines on our faith when we extend grace for new life with another. May we learn to embrace that we too do not have to have it all figured out. And may we see the sight of our weakness as the place where the world gains sight of God's strength. Amen.